and welcome to the ParaUnity Podcast. Tonight, on this bonus episode, we're going to do things a little different. I want you to open your minds in a new way with some old friends. I've said it over and over again that we owe a lot here at the ParaUnity Podcast to Hillary Stone and Jessica Krutel from Mystic Mitten Paranormal Group. These ladies do a little bit of everything, but always in very big ways. When Jessica told me about one of their new projects, I knew I wanted to help any way that I could. Tonight, we don't have any guests or hour-long diatribes coming from me. Tonight, I'm very pleased to present to our listeners the Mystic Mitten Radio Show, starring none other than our favorite Detroit ladies. Please enjoy tonight's show. This will be their second episode that's entitled Goblins of the Sioux.
Welcome, Goyles and Ghouls, to another episode of the Mystic Mitten Radio Show. The Mystic Mitten Radio Show is intended for audiences 18 and older, so beware of scares and swears ahead. I'm your ghost host and local shiksa-witch, Hillary Stone, and today I'm joined by my co-ghost hostess with the mostest, Jessica Krutel, and my co-producer, our camera guy, and friend till the end, Ryan Reed. So we are joining all of you live today from our independent makeshift studio spaces, if you can call them that, and we are practicing expert level social distancing. I hope you're all doing the same. Jessica, how is your quarantine going? Weekly update.
Weekly update. Today was the first time I got drunk throughout the whole quarantine, so that's exciting. I've been drinking often, just not enough to like actually drink. Today I drank. So here I am.
Ryan, have you been drinking?
No, not at all. not the drinking. I'm the smoker. So definitely been doing that, and then also watching some new things on Netflix. Came across this new anime, so we're 4 episodes away from finishing it, so I'm pretty excited. Not a new anime, it's actually a really old anime, but it's new to me, you know.
Well, you have to tell us what it's called now. What is this?
Durababa.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yes. It's weird. It's we're into the last bit of it, so I gotta finish it, but it's really weird, interesting. It's a show.
It's a show. That's really all
I'm gonna say. It's a show. It's got drama, it's got the action, it's got the love. It's got all the essentials that you need to make a really good show. And it's an anime, so it's different genre.
Well, today this show is also going to have drama, action, and maybe a little bit of love. Because today we're talking about an adventure story from last August when the three of us went on a journey of epic proportions up into the upper peninsula of Michigan and traveled to Sault Ste. Marie and received a very secret and spooky picture that we...
Ominous.
Yes, that we can't wait to talk to you about today. So, Jessica...
Not?
I know. I'm hesitant as well. Jessica, this is... This is so...
I know. It's like, yeah, oh, sure.
Right? Do we really want to do it?
I don't know. I'm nervous. So after we saw this photo, I'm not going to lie. So like I just got Jasmine, I don't know, maybe like not even a month or so, maybe a month, 2 months max before we went to Paracon. And she was a puppy, so she'd have to go out at night, but I'd go out with her because she was still like a baby. You know, she's like 11, 12 weeks old. And when we came back from Paracon, having to let her out at night, I'm not going to lie, was super scary. So this picture, I was so afraid that thing followed me home, and I was like, oh my god, it's gonna get me, and my dog. It was so scary. Oh my gosh, it's just crazy. But it's like, it's one of those pictures though, like you don't, it's hard to put words to it till you see it, but like the more you look at it, the weirder it gets. It's so weird. I just have so many questions.
So I'm actually gonna pull it up on the screen here right now and just stare at it as we discuss it. And this, you know, just to lead with this, to throw the most, the true, you know, the spookiest part of this entire story, just start with that. You know, did we ever get an accurate description of what this creature is? Or Jessica, were we given any kind of name?
From my understanding, that somebody who is friends with our buddy, who we're going to be using a code name for his own privacy sakes for this. So we're just gonna let's just call him Donnie or Don or Donald. So we're just gonna roll with Don or Donnie or Donald. All right. So our buddy, who is a Native American of the local tribes in that general area, had gotten this picture basically firsthand. So we are like the second hand to see this photograph. And from my understanding, this picture was taken out of a second story window. Someone was hearing a noise outside. They saw this thing in the tree, snapped this photograph. Now, to describe this picture is like, oh, it is so intense, because the more you look at it, like, honest to God, the weirder it gets. So you can see like a house in the background, and you can see this creature sitting at like the, you know how like some trees have like a Y shape in them? So sitting in like that, like bottom of that Y shape of this tree, and you can see it's like almost translucent, like its skin is translucent essentially. And you can see it has like long legs, and it's kind of like bent, and it's perching in this tree. And it has like, you know, like how animals are like when you get your picture taken at nighttime, you know, the eyes glow. So the eyes are reflecting a little bit. And to me, it looks like this creature is like almost like reaching out to the viewer. Like this creature was very well aware that somebody was watching it. And from the height of this tree and seeing the rest of the tree, it doesn't really make much sense for how, you know, like how a human being could climb and get the spot in this tree. And for a human to look like how it is and to perch like how it is, I mean, this creature looks really tall. Like I'd say like 6.5, maybe 7 feet. It's higher than like a first story house, because you can see a house in the background where you can see the house's gutters in the window. So it's taller and higher in this tree than like an average house first story would be. And it is just the creepiest photo out of all of the photos that I've ever seen of like, you know, like some sort of like fantastical cryptidish beast captured in photography. This is just insane. Like it chills you to the core. Honestly, it really does.
I know you. I remember you telling me that you were still having nightmares about it, like 2 months afterwards, so that it was still haunting your dreams.
So basically, our buddy Donnie is friends with the person who took this picture, and he showed us this picture when we met up with him in Sault Ste. Marie. You can tell that I've been drinking. In the Sioux, or in the Salt, if you will. In the Sioux. And he had shared this picture with us then. And it just shakes you to the core. And, you know, we've met, like, a handful of other locals from the area who we hung, like, honestly, we were so lucky to be able to have the experiences and to have them with us, because like there were certain times where I honestly, like, if it was just us folks from, like, you know, our metro Detroiters, like if we went up there by ourselves, what the fuck? Like, can you imagine like going through all of those experiences without somebody who was a local being there to help us? Oh. Like, I feel like we would have been screwed. We would put ourselves in so much danger. It's just insane. But like hearing these different stories, then there was like another story too, where it was like almost like some sort of like almost like a Bigfoot or a Sasquatch type being that somebody who we were actually with witnessed and experienced, where it was this giant creature that, like, you know, like kind of like leaped up onto their car and like they ran inside. Like when you hear these stories and you're in an area, like honestly, the Sioux is the oldest city in the entire state of Michigan. And there's so much history there from part of, you know, like being part of the Sioux Locks and like in a central waterway. There's so much energy that's passing through there and so much history in the land itself. But at the same time, like there's still like, you know, little native areas that are essentially taking up a good portion of the Sioux as well. So it's just really an incredible area, to be honest.
And so for those of you listening who are who frequent paranormal conventions and such events, largest, I think it's the largest in the Midwest paranormal convention. MI Paracon or Michigan Paracon, right? Is what it's called.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, it's the largest in the Midwest.
Yeah. And so that takes place yearly in town there. And so we kind of had our little adventure. It was kind of like a choose your own adventure story. We were figuring it out minute by minute and just kind of riding by the seat of our pants and seeing who would take us, being totally open to the experiences and following some of these people that, you know, we knew through your family, and, you know, your cousin Morgan's friends and such, whatever, and kind of doing an add-on adventure. It was like our own paranormal quest, totally separate from the convention. So we really made the most of our time up there, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah, for sure. We hardly even slept that entire time. We were basically just, like, adventure, you know, then we go to the event, and then back to adventure, drinking, you know. And then...
Drink a little. Back to no sleep, adventure. Yeah, I honestly, like, I feel like there were some nights where we weren't even, like, checking, like, getting back into our hotel. I was going to say hospital, oh my god. Back into our hotel until, like, 5 o'clock in the morning. But, like, we would go to the bar, we would have some drinks, my mom, bless her heart, would caravan us around town, deal with us.
She's the best.
And we'd be out at, like, 5:30 in the morning. And then we'd wake back up again, go to Paracon at, like, and be, like, there and presentable at 9 a.m. So, like, that's, like, hardly any sleep because Lord knows us girls take forever to get ready. So it was just, it was absolute whirlwind. It was one of those vacations where, like, after your vacation, you need another vacation just to, like, relax and try to, like, catch back up on everything. Our eating schedule, our sleeping schedule, our drinking schedule, it was a freaking mess, but it was totally worth it.
Ryan and I don't even remember, like, all of the meals blended together, and, like, I don't think we ate that much, and, like, you and I were sneaking out to smoke weed every, like, 30 minutes wherever we were, like, just being totally honest. Michigan is a recreationally legal state for anyone wondering, but, like, you know, it was, like, fun. It was, like, maybe, like, not the you know, shining example of, like, professional handling of, you know, investigating or whatever, but, like, it was, we were going at it from a total, like, you know, trying to have fun, and it was a blast. That is one of probably my number one trip that we've done so far, to be honest, just, you know, because of all the goofy hijinks and side quests we explored together, and the margaritas. Can we talk about the margaritas, please?
Oh my
gosh. Oh my gosh. What was that restaurant called? There was this Mexican restaurant downtown the Sioux. And what was it called, Hillary?
The Palace Restaurant and Saloon.
Yes, that was it. Oh my god. So they had these giant margaritas. Like, I'm not even kidding. They're, like, bigger than our heads. And they were, like, $10. And if you wanted to spruce it up for an extra $2, you could have this $12 margarita. And you were, like, thoroughly toasted from it. So, like, Ryan was like, yeah, I'll take another one. And then he was like, oh, never mind. So, like, when it came, he was like, oh, what am I doing? So I ended up drinking it. And we were just a freaking mess. We, like, leave, and, like, Hillary and Ryan beat us outside. And I come outside, and they're, like, laying in the street taking a picture next to, like, some, like, graffiti or something.
It was a chili pepper,
oh, my
man.
God. Those were the best margaritas and the best, like, value for your money. Ever. Like, it was just insane.
10 out of 10 would drink again. I mean, hands down. We're definitely going back to the Palace.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, their queso was great, too. And
you can't beat queso.
Yes. I mean, it was to die for. It really was. Which, speaking of, we discovered or learned while we were there that the Palace is supposed to be haunted as well, too. We didn't get a chance to learn too much about that. But do you remember anything from... No, yeah. So
I don't. You know, there's just so much that happened that weekend that, like, it's, like... It's kind of, honestly, it's kind of hard to keep it all straight. But, like, basically, like, there... It wouldn't surprise me if that whole town was haunted. Mm-hmm. It's the oldest in Michigan. There's so much history in just the land itself, let alone all of these buildings, you know, that, like, back in the day were, like, speakeasies and, like, hotels. And it's just really awesome. I don't know if anyone recalls seeing the video. I was able to investigate it briefly, not this past summer when we went up, but the year before, Zim's Bar. And we captured a really awesome EVP there, where there's like a gentleman that's like hanging out in the basement area. And when I pan over and view the basement, we hear a man's voice say hello that we didn't hear in real time, which is really awesome. And that was a really cool clip. But like, all of these buildings are just so incredibly beautiful and historic and just so full of history. And, you know, it's just, it wouldn't be surprising at all if they were spiritually rich as well, you know?
One of the things that I remember and I found most interesting were the little spirit houses that were all over the place. They're those, you know, those tiny little structures that were protected by gates. And there was some controversial information we were given about whether or not those were actually native spirit houses or that was native land or not, which whatever was an interesting bit of information. But those spirit houses were in a couple places that we were, actually. I don't know if you guys remember that.
Yeah, I remember that. There was like that one park that was just sort of south of like the actual locks a little bit, that was still on the waterway. And we kind of like poked around there a little bit. We did like some sort of like investigating, which was a little difficult because like we had, you know, not only us that were slightly intoxicated, but, you know, all of the locals that were really good friends with my cousin were hanging out with us too because they were fascinated. So that night was kind of wild because everybody was like way out there. So it was kind of hard for us to stay on track, even though, you know, we were doing our best to stay, you know, on focus and, you know, try to be productive. But there was a lot of other outside forces coming in, you know, folks who are used to seeing, you know, the paranormal TV shows and like, well, why isn't something happening? Like,
yeah,
where's the ghost? Like, this isn't what I see on TV, but it's not like that in real life. So right. It's kind of an awakening for them. But, you know, unfortunately, it kind of made our jobs a little trickier that evening. Which is why we decided to go back out the following night to a different location with a slightly different group of folks. But it was still fun. It was still interesting. And being able to speak with the natives and hear their side and their perspective on everything and how certain things are portrayed was definitely interesting and kind of an eye-opener.
Yeah, I think it was definitely it, for us too, you know, whatever, like being from Michigan and everything. It's like, I remember talking to the Don about how, you know, I didn't even realize how much we don't cover some of those cultural things that, you know, we had conversations about. And, you know, we kind of forget, I think, coming from like the metro city area, you know, we don't learn. I don't know. It's easy, I think, as you know, a Michigander in the city to forget that there's, you know, a very rich native culture still, you know, that's accessible and to check out and whatever. And people, you know, we were up there and they, you know, the different powwow grounds and things like that. And they were talking about different events and things that go on up there. So I think that was, you know, it was a really, I like that you used the word eye-opening, Jessica, because I think that was a really, as far as like paranormal investigators and like talking about ghost stories and sharing some of these different, like, you know, cultural ideas and stuff, it was a really informational and like educational trip for us in a lot of ways. I think that really shaped us and like we learned a lot from, you know, just like new experiences, just the fact that we just did so many new things on that trip.
Mm-hmm. It's
awesome. It was really nice too. I felt like,
sorry, go on.
We were so welcomed, you know what I mean? Like they just like accepted us with open arms. They were interested. And like on the second night while we went out, getting to see how folks who have never had the chance but had been interested in the paranormal, you know, like, but not being able to use the equipment that we had and seeing them put that equipment to use was really awesome too. And I'm just so incredibly thankful that they accepted us and welcomed us and told us their stories and shared their opinions and in their history with us. It was just such an amazing experience overall.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait to get back up there and just collect random people again and just be like, what do you want to do? I don't know. Let's go check out the handful of places we went again. I don't know. That was fun.
Oh God, it was an absolute blast. I was going to say just I want to go back to that cemetery again. Just, it was just up on top of that hill.
Yeah.
I think that was a real experience. Just the way we sat down and just went back and forth with the K2 meters and almost had like a full interaction. I think that was really, I guess, big part too. I don't want
to. So to lead into what Ryan's saying, it's like the second night. So the first night after we kind of like stuck around downtown to the second night, they suggested that we check out the cemetery on top of this hill that overlooks, you know, the lake. And there's like another smaller lake, and you just have a beautiful view away from the city. Would be a gorgeous spot to view the Northern Lights, and it's just this peaceful, serene mountaintop that has, you know, it's on native land, and it has a cemetery and burial ground. And when we got there, and we were told to, like, you know, like time to time, like the officers will stop by, like, and just patrol and just make sure, you know, nobody's like up there doing anything illegal or doing drugs or anything. And Hillary, you're better at telling that story. When the cops did show up, before we actually even got started on anything, we're just taking in the sights, like all of us, and then my mom, like, so, like you know, a group of like mid-20s, like kids essentially, and then my mom hanging out on this mountaintop, and then the police show up. Oh my God.
Yeah, we had a mom. We're like 30-year-old children, but we had a mom officer. It was totally fine. Yeah, exactly. We had a minivan. We had, like, yeah, it was totally legit. No, I love that, though, because they were so nice to us. And, like, we had, like, a couple or, like, an experience, like, just a little bit before that, like, I was, like, really worried about all of our interactions in the future as far as, like, you know, law enforcement and, like, what we were doing and whatever. And so this experience we had up in the Sioux, like, completely made up for it. It, like, restored all my faith in humanity. It was great. Because the officers rolled up and they're like, what are you guys doing? And we were like, just totally honest. We were just like, oh, ghost hunting, you know, we're just ghost hunting, and we're in town for the thing that's in town, and we're ghost hunting. And the officer was like, oh, cool, so this is chill. Just if you, I mean, he didn't, I don't think he said that specifically, but this was the vibe. Okay, this is chill, but if anything happens to you while you're in there, do not call us. Do not call me, because I will not come rescue you. So you are on your own. Explore and ghost hunt at your own risk. And we were like, challenge accepted. Thank you, sir. I wanted to shake his hand. I wanted to get his badge number, send him an edible arrangement. It was, I feel, you know, like, I loved it.
Shake his hand.
Somebody
I
did.
Think I did.
You did? So nice. You did? Oh, that's so funny. That's so fucking hilarious. Did.
Yeah.
Oh my
God. I did, and I think Donnie did. I think we both did. We were just like, thank you. Like, thanks so much for checking up on us. Like, we'll be respectful. Like,
that's so funny.
So funny. Like, he was serious, though. Like, you could see he was like, I don't fuck around with that.
Oh, for sure.
I have nothing to do with that. If you experience anything,
yeah,
you guys are on your own, but thank you so much. You know, like, have a good night. Stay safe. You know, whatever. He was so chill, though. It was so funny.
Yeah, there was.
You haunted on your own.
Exactly. That was exactly. It was the essence of exactly. Yes. Hilarious. But we were okay. Obviously, we survived. We lived to tell the tale. And we, you know, there was up while we were up there, too, because, you know, Michigan, especially, we were in a very remote area, too. And like, Michigan is native to a variety of wild beasts, bears, some species of wild cats. Jessica knows way more about the local. What kind of animals do we have up there?
Mountain lions, which are pretty. Yeah. So there would be a couple different species of bears, obviously, like deer, elk and moose could be potentially like concerning if they were to try to charge you,
right?
Because of their antlers. But my biggest fear was like a panther, like a straight up mountain lion, which a panther and a mountain lion essentially is the same animal. It's just two different names of it. But like those are common from like, I'd say like probably like around like the height of Traverse City and up, they can happen. I wouldn't say like super common, but they exist. And that's one thing that like I don't want to run into. I don't want to have that experience. I don't want to see one from my car. Just stay out there, and I'm continuing carrying on with my life, because I have seen one in the wild in Florida. And let me tell you, when you see a Florida panther staring at you when you're in a golf cart and there's no other way for you to go, and you see this Florida panther staring, it's like insane how large this cat was. And I sound like a lunatic because no one believes in me, but like when you see an animal and you know it's a feline and it is bigger than you and it could easily put your whole head in its mouth, no thanks. I want nothing to do with that. Yeah. Cougars, mountain lions, all that. No thanks. And when we were out there though, and they're like, and the guys that we were with, they like joked around. They're like, oh, ha, 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 hopefully we won't run into one of those pesky panthers, or you know, there's some bears that travel around time to time. LOL. Hopefully nothing will happen. But like as we're investigating, and we're like in this one area of a cemetery, and it will be pretty vague, but it was a connection to somebody who our friend Donnie was good friends with. So we were kind of chilling at his grave, and there was like, and his cause of death was like really wild and super intense. And basically like he was protecting somebody. And while we were hanging out there, we kept seeing these like set of eyes coming at us, and they were like, they were in the distance, but I felt like they were lower than a deer. I felt like we were being stalked. Like it was insane, but I was so thankful that we were with this large group, this posse of locals that were all men that knew how to handle the UP, and they could handle anything. You know what I mean? They're like, oh yeah, this is what you do if one of those come. You just start screaming, you make loud noises, and you like stomp around. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to sit here and shake while you guys protect us, because like, there's no way in that moment in time that I'm going to act appropriately if we're being attacked by cougars. So
yes, I have since I found my bear bell that I bought when I was a child out in like Colorado or something, or Wyoming or someplace where there was an equally, probably more significant threat of bears. So I hooked it to my little, like, all right, when I leave the house, like next to my keys in case I'm out, you know, in case we're out in the wilderness of Michigan again, yes, anytime soon.
Exactly.
We're prepared.
Yeah, in our little paranormal first aid kit inside the Mystic Mitten van.
Yeah.
So that way we have it with us at all times. Because like, it was just one of those moments. But like there was like a lot of interesting things going on with the K2, and we were getting like direct responses, and like the emotional level that we were all on experiencing that is like honestly hard to put words into, just because you could see the whole transition happen and the whole conversation kind of take place. But like while this whole thing is going on, at the same time I'm like watching, and I'm looking around, and I'm like looking over my shoulder, and I'm like, oh my god.
Yeah,
there's no panther ready to pounce. Like, what are we gonna do?
Yeah, so okay, note, we're adding a Dog the Bounty Hunter style bear mace gun to the Amazon wish list.
Perfect.
So we'll have that covered for our next trip, no problem. But yeah, you know, that with the K2s and that conversational experience we had, like, you know, I love that Ryan was around to see that. And I love that you brought that up as one of your kind of favorite moments of the trip too, because that's something that I feel like, you know, when you tell a story like that, people are like, oh, really? Or like I can see how that's hard to believe that that happens, or they'll be, you know, skeptical of like, oh well, I don't believe those tools work, or whatever they, you know, might say. But you know, I was really glad that Ryan was around to witness something like that, because Jessica, you and I have experiences like that so frequently, and I think that that's something that people have expressed as kind of unique to us too. So Ryan, what was your impression of all of that?
It's the adventure in general, I mean, or
I mean, particularly in the experience with the K2 meters in that cemetery, too, because you had said that that was one of your favorite moments.
Mine was more like the entire experience as a whole. I thought that area was absolutely beautiful. The overlooking spot, which is, as a photographer, that's just kind of where my mind instantly goes. But the overall just experience back there, we played with a bunch of new stuff. You know, we had that little heat thing, too, which, I mean, don't know if completely got it to work, but
it was still
like cool to have that and use it and try to point it and see the animals or see, you know, what was out there. Exactly, yeah, just the different experiences being back there in the midst of all of it, just with the everything going on, the way we kind of powwowed around and worked with the K2 meters. I enjoy the experience as a whole. I don't know, take little bits from it, just try to learn from it. That was more of just like the experience and going out with people and interacting in different ways and kind of meshing some things together.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I think at least that some of that is kind of vital to facilitating some of these weird experiences that we have, whether or not we can like prove that they happened or not, or like catch them on film all the time, or, you know, whether or not people believe what they see that we post. You know, it's, I think that, you know, at least for us, and Jessica, I want to hear what you have to say about it too. But, you know, at least for our group, kind of just going with the flow and maybe not worrying so much about getting perfect film or perfect audio or perfect anything, and just kind of seeing where the night takes us and where the dynamic, you know, takes us as far as the mix of people and, you know, whatever. What do you think about that?
I agree. I think that night, like, we were like solely up there with a genuine purpose, even though we didn't know it at the time, but we were up there for the sole purpose of being able to connect Donnie to his past friend.
Yeah.
And being able to, you know, lend our, you know, our experiences and our equipment and allow him to be able to have that moment with his late friend, for them to have their own emotional experience, which in turn made it an emotional experience for us who were all there to witness. And I think that was honestly like our sole purpose for being there, even though that's not what we went there for our intent to be, but that's what it ended up becoming. And that's why, like, you know, like, we haven't posted this anywhere on YouTube or Instagram or anything, like, because like this morphed into completely different beasts than what we had originally gone there to expect. You know, we went there to like explore, like, you know, like a spooky cemetery late at night, like, you know, have the pretty view of the stars and be with some friends. And it ended up becoming more of an emotional statement for Donnie to experience with his friend and to have that connection and to be able to help facilitate that was basically our sole purpose as to why we were there, without us even knowing that that was our sole reason why we needed to be in that place at that time.
Right. No, I completely agree with what you're saying. You know, the word like synchronicity gets thrown around a lot in the paranormal community, and I love that word. Don't get me wrong. I don't, you know, mean to say anything negative about it. You know, but that I think was a perfect example of just like when you just go with it and when you just lean into the experience, and we allowed those people to just kind of take us on their, like, we went along for their ride a little bit, and we're like, yeah, we're just kind of, you know, passengers on this journey. And, you know, how emotional that was, and how, you know, I mean, everybody was emotional. Everyone had their own reaction. You could tell it was like it, we were all struck by it. And I love that sentiment. And, you know, those kind of feelings or those moments or whatever, or being involved or facilitating that experience for people and like having those moments of connection is like, that's like the whole point. So that was amazing. And I will remember that forever. That was a really, you know, unique and profound experience in our history, I think. So I want to talk about the ghoul picture again, because now it's funny because everybody who looks at this picture has kind of a different interpretation of it, or a different like take on it, or a different description of what they think that this creature is doing. You know, and like, so for me, I kind of like my eyes have a hard time with it because my brain, number one, is kind of like, what the fuck is this thing? I can't even process this. Number two, you know, it looks like a gray humanoid-ish creature, at least with a human-ish chest type torso-ish thing. But then it looks like it's crouched up in this tree to me. I know Jessica says she says it looks like the hand is outreached towards the person who's taking the photo. I kind of look at it like it's gripping this tree branch. But I don't, you know, the word that comes to mind for me is goblin. I mean, I don't, not that this is a goblin, but that's the only word that I can think of. I don't know how else to describe this. So I'm really curious for you guys listening too. Please let us know on Instagram at Mystic Mitten Paranormal is where you can follow us. Please let us know in the comments of this picture what you think this is. If this spooks you, if you're going to have nightmares like Jessica too. It's pretty unsettling.
It's very unsettling. It's very unsettling. And like my husband, Mike, his biggest thing that kind of freaks him out is like, you know, like the cryptid of the Rake, which is kind of like newer in some sense. It's kind of like, you know, like a version of like Slender Man essentially, but it kind of looks like this like tall humanoidish being, kind of translucent, no hair for anything. And just kind of like these like beady glowy eyes, like tall and slender, kind of like slinky and like kind of like slouchy and crouchy, and kind of looks like it would move really fast.
Yeah.
And like Mike doesn't like this picture either because it reminds him of like this like the Rake essentially. But like the Rake is like such a bizarre cryptid because it's so fresh, and it's basically just some like, you know, like kind of like just like how Slender Man started, where it's just like this like little whisper on the internet of this story of this picture that's probably more than likely photoshopped and yada yada. But like it looks very similar, but like the same like whole like goblin type vibe. Like if you look at the picture long enough and you kind of zoom in a little bit, you can almost see what sort of looks like pointed ears.
Yeah.
Which you would see like kind of common in like, you know, like a sketches of the Chupacabra or something like that, but like very like gremlin like you can't tell how many eyes he has. His mouth is kind of gaping open, like, but to me he looks like he's crouching. His feet are crisscrossed a little bit, and he is crouching, so his knees are bent, so you can kind of see where his knees are, and they're a little more further out than his chest, just like if you or I were to crouch. And he's perched in this tree, and it is just the freakiest thing. Like, it is so freaky. And now, you know, Ryan, too, and you can add in your comments on this, because, you know, I have a history in photography, too. That's where my degree is. I may not pursue it, you know, for a career like Ryan does. But, like, looking at this picture, like, it doesn't look like it's photoshopped to me. Sometimes I'll see pictures and I'll be like, yeah.
Nice try.
That looks like shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this picture, like the way that the flash hits the trees is the same exact way that the lighting hits this cryptid creature perched in the tree. The lighting looks exactly the same. It doesn't look out of place. It doesn't look like the photo was altered at all. It just looks like a straight, like this was fully here. Like, and photos are hard to judge too, unless you're like physically there in the moment. You take that picture, but there's so many things that can factor into it. But like, until you really see this photograph, like, I can't come up with any explanation other than there was something scary as hell perched in this person's tree. And I don't ever want to meet that creature in my life.
Yeah, me neither. That makes three of us. All right, it's official.
Ryan, what are your thoughts on the picture? Do you think it was manipulated at all? Or are you on my side where you think it's like fully, you believe that that could potentially be a real image?
Oh, it could definitely be a real image. It looks like just a point-and-shoot camera is used, or a cell phone camera, because you could tell it was late at night. There was a flash used. It was close. There's a lot of motion blur on the object itself, but you can definitely tell it looks like some creature lengthy, you know, perched up in this person's tree, you know? It's just, like, creepy as hell for it to be a, you know, whatever time that this was taken for. I don't know, but it's just unorthodox to be, for one, up in a tree like this. all these things just don't add up.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's creepy. It's weird. It doesn't seem like it's Photoshopped. At least I'd have a hard time. I had a hard time looking into it to see like if there was any like Photoshop mistakes. Like I couldn't find any.
Good to know.
So, that's kind of what gave me the chills up the spine, because I couldn't debunk it in a sensical way that way, like a Photoshop kind of thing.
Yeah. That's what freaks me out about it too, because even just looking at, you know, some pictures you see on, you know, in Facebook groups or, you know, on certain websites or whatever, like it, you can tell it's like, oh, it's like an animal or like the trees or like, you know, whatever. And like, I've been super guilty of that too. And like mistaking certain things for like, well, I don't know, is this a weird thing? But, you know, this is one thing, this particular goblin ghoulish gremlin is something that I have no explanation for. I have no guesses. My brain just goes, oh, okay, sure. And I'm not interested in, hopefully, you know, I would be interested to see one from afar, to, you know, have a not so close encounter perhaps, and see one and have that interesting experience. But then, you know what? I'm not a big monster person. Monsters freak me out. Cryptids kind of freak me out. So I agree. I don't know that I need to find this thing.
I don't ever want to cross paths with this fella ever. I don't want to see anything like this in person. It's just what so.
What if he sleeps during the day, so he tries to find love at night, and that's his.
He's just looking for a soulmate.
Well, now we have a different. Oh. Well, that's a new narrative.
I don't like him. I'm sorry.
It's all about the perspective.
Oh my god!
I like the spider photos. You know, he's looking for a friend. You know, I hear it hurt anybody.
Oh,
I like
the. I know this guy looks like he's here to hurt somebody.
Yeah. Well, we don't know. I like the cutification. I like the friendly. You know, the friendly narrative we've given this guy now, because maybe we don't know. Maybe we don't. He could be a perfectly nice guy.
He's like that lover that's like brain pops at your window, you know, like when you're trying to sleep at night and they're like, your boyfriend's outside chucking pebbles at your window so he could say, I love you. Like, it's all that's going on here.
He's got a boombox behind there. We just can't see it. That's totally what he's doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
like Hawthorne in the Heights level, like love romance.
Well, when we go back up to the Sioux, we'll have to reach out to him and see if he's interested in doing a Mystic Mittens The Bachelor. So.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
It'd be great.
What was that dating show? Like a curtain? You're like trying to know somebody and you don't see them until the curtain's revealed. You're like, whoa, hello. I think there's something to be said, too. Like this whole experience, like this whole trip of us going up for Paracon, like we threw that together like literally the night before we intended to leave, because there was so much going on in our own personal lives at that time that we were like, I don't know if we're gonna go or not. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And then like it was like straight up the night before we would need to leave, where we're like, well,
we're doing it tomorrow. Mm-hmm.
We leave tomorrow. So the fact that the cards kind of allowed for that to even happen, I think, is definitely back to that I can't say that word. Hillary, chime in here.
Synchronicity, yeah, no,
back
for sure.
To that, like, for the reason why we went up there, and it was just a whole thing, was like this giant journey. This like you said, like a quest, like us and my mom, like going up and like having these adventures. It was such an action packed, you know, like what was it like? 3-night, 4-day weekend or mm-hmm. something crazy. And there was that night too where we were out in the parking lot with Andrea Perrin.
Yes.
And she calls to the aliens. And when we like walk out to like witness this, because like she does it every year, but like it's kind of hard to like pinpoint exactly what night it's going to take place. And like 30 seconds into this happening, there's this giant, probably meteor, who knows, this giant fireball that breaks and has like small little trails of fireball following it. And we're just like, oh, what?
That was so cool. 30
seconds Stanley. She hasn't even started singing yet. But it was just even seeing that, like, on a regular day would be beautiful. But you know, like, when you're out in this parking lot and there's, like, there's probably, like, 100, 125 people maybe on this parking lot all taking in, you know, looking up at the sky, hoping to experience something. And just kind of being in this place. It was a very, like, para-unity type moment where we're all just kind of, like, hanging out together, doing this really weird thing, you know, calling and singing for aliens in the parking lot of a casino. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally normal, just normal people things. But we wouldn't have it any other way. We had so much fun in that parking lot. Ryan, I remember, I don't even, whatever, at one point, I remember laying down on the ground and not giving a shit about what anybody thought about it. Like, because I was so comfy on the ground and, like, filming. Because I had caught that fireball event on camera. And I think I'm probably the only person who caught footage of that.
You did.
Yeah.
You did.
And so then, like, that was exciting. And then not that I expected to really see anything else, you know, whatever. But I was like, whatever. Stranger things have happened. I'm up for all of it now. But, you know, I remember all of us kind of laying down. And then at one point we got up and then everyone else was gone. Like, in true Mystic Mitten fashion, we shut that event down too. That parking lot event. We shut that down.
First to arrive, last to go.
Always.
No. Sorry, not first to arrive.
Well, sometimes late to arrive, but always last to go.
Always. Yeah,
for that one, I think, like we're just on time. Like, we were getting there just as the crowd was forming. Everybody was kind of like, they knew what was about to happen. So, Yeah,
we pulled up at, like, the perfect time because, like, the crowd was starting to outpour, and we had met up with Jennifer, who, you know, who we talked to, and we're in communications with because of Mystic Mint. So we had met up with her and kind of hung out with her during this experience as well. But, like, the time that we arrived back at the casino to experience all of this was perfect, because as we were walking in to find out when everyone was walking out, everyone was already walking out. So we definitely, for that one, thankfully arrived just in time, because if we had arrived late, we would have missed that fireball experience, definitely. That happened pretty quick, right before the whole thing kind of got started.
That was so cool. We'll have to put a clip of that on Instagram too, because it was such a cool, just as far as, like, I don't know if this is right, but, like, astronomical events go, as far as astronomical events go, it was just a cool thing to witness. Because there, I remember looking it up like a month or two after we got back, just because I was curious if there was any record. Because, you know, there's websites and logs where people will record different, you know, like meteors, asteroids, things like that, whatever, and track those things. And so I was curious to see how many people in Michigan saw that and reported it. And I found out that there was only, like, you know, one other fireball event that month or something like that of that significance. But that, you know, it broke off into two pieces, just like we had seen. So it like hit the atmosphere or something like that just right and then burst off into two pieces. And I think you would call that a fireball. So I think that is the correct term for that event that we witnessed. So that was probably one of the coolest things I've probably ever seen in my life, to be honest. So another cool element of this whole thing is that Andrea Perrin's book, which, if you are not familiar with the name Andrea Perrin is the one of the original family members, or kind of the main family member of the Conjuring case. That is the movie, or I guess, the movie, Conjuring Movies, inspired by the real life case of Andrea Perrin and the haunting in her house. Jessica knows a lot more about this than I do, but Jessica, her cousin, and her mother are actually on the cover of Andrea Perrin's most recent book that you had an opportunity to buy while we were up there.
Hold on. Yeah, the book is called A Wonder to Behold, and it was really funny because we were at her table just, you know, like, chatting or whatever, and we glanced down at her book that was, like, fresh off the press for this event here. I'm tripping over my words because I'm so messed. And on the cover, we're looking at it. We're like, oh, my God. There's me and my mom and my cousin on the front cover of this book. So we're like, okay, well, if that's not a sign that we should buy it, I don't know what is. So right. My cousin and I both got a copy of it. And it's just really cool. So we'll post that on our Instagram too, so you guys can check that out and see if you can spot where me and my family members are experiencing her doing this
experience,
you know, extraterrestrial experience in the parking lot where she sings this song to call to the aliens. And it's very intriguing. The whole thing is just intriguing. Like, the whole time you're just like, whoa, what is going on? Like, this is a lot to take in. But yeah, it's pretty cool though. So definitely check that out. It's fun to say that I'm on the cover of a book too.
Like, it is so cool.
Popular status. Hey, I'm finally
right?
Slept.
Right.
Want to get your royalties for that?
Yeah. Right? That was funny.
You're using my face. Can I have this book for free?
Right. You made that joke too, and she was like, no. And we were like, it was like, no, we're just joking. We're just harassing you. Sorry.
I know. Honestly, I'm just kidding. I'm legit just kidding.
We're just a lot. We're a lot. We know it. It was nice to meet her, though. That was really interesting. That's the one of the cool things, too, about, like, those intimate small events like that, too. You know, that you're in very close proximity to people, you know, and if you want to talk to them or hug them or whatever, you know, that's the place to meet some of those paranormal celebs. So
I think we all got hugs, didn't we?
I think we got hugs from Dustin Perry.
Yes, we did.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then I had a full-fledged, panic attack because I am very, like, it's something I'm exploring in therapy. Don't exactly understand. Touchy. Yeah, I don't like to be touched. I'm super weird about it, but I didn't want to be rude and I didn't want to, like, make a scene and whatever. And so, no offense to Dustin Perry. He's such a nice person. I just had this, like, oh my God, I have to go outside now. Panic attack at Paracon and whatever. And then I saw Grant Wilson, and then I had another panic attack, and it was just, you know, this is just my life now, you guys. This is what I'm dealing with. But
totally normal.
Yeah, just normal stuff. It's fine. We'll survive. But anyway, but I loved every second of that trip. I cannot wait to get back up there and, you know, get back up there or get, you know, back in touch with some of those people, you know, even stay at our hotel. Oh my God, that hotel, the staff was so accommodating to us. And that one lady at
the
desk.
Oh my God.
Desk,
oh my God.
Yes.
Oh.
The 5 a.m. like desk person, the same person.
Yeah.
I'm working at Brittany.
I don't know. So we roll in at like 5 o'clock in the morning and Hillary and Ryan are like exhausted at this point. And this girl, like, she's like, whoa, what are you guys doing at 5 a.m. coming in? And we're like, oh, well, we're paranormal investigators here for Paracon and VD. And she like draws us a whole city map with like diagrams of places to check out and little cliff notes and like boom, 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 boom. And we end up chatting with her for like another 45 minutes. So now it's like 5:45. We have to be up at 8 o'clock. Hillary and Ryan are exhausted. And I'm just like, yeah, okay, this is great. Thank you so much. You're amazing. This is.
And then she's like,
she was so nice and so chatty, and you could tell she was just excited to be able to like talk to somebody that understood things that she was passionate about, which is pretty cool to see.
Definitely. Definitely. It was so nice. That hand drawn map.
Right. That was useful.
That was so kind. I don't even remember. We can't even. I don't even know if we should say the name of the hotel, to be honest, anyway. But I'm just going to be like, not that sponsored, sponsored. But oh, Sault Ste. Marie is great. We had such a fun time. And, you know, synchronicity, again, to use that word, we had such a you know, fun time, gifts from the universe, if you will, adventure, you know. Lots of memories that we'll treasure for a long time. And I think kind of, you know, some new projects when time allows us. And after, you know, this COVID-19 situation is finished up, maybe we will get back up there this year. So we'll see. But all right. Well, don't have any nightmares after looking at that goblin picture for so long. Take care of yourself. Thank you, Ryan and Jessica, for joining us. It was nice to have this chat finally. And thank you guys so much for joining us for the Mystic Mitten Radio Show. I hope it was worth your while. In our next episode, we'll be joined by Charles Urban of the Picassos, which is probably one of, if not our number one favorite local band, and talking about his paranormal experiences and how spirits participate in the creation of his music. So make sure to check out our videos, follow us on social media, wash your fucking hands, and stay spooky. We will see you next time.
Thanks again for taking a listen to the Mystic Mitten Radio Show. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to check out the other episodes on either Spotify or YouTube. Remember to hit the subscribe button to stay up to date on all the amazing things Jessica and Hillary are doing. As for us here at the ParaUnity Podcast, we're always glad to have you tune in. If you listen to us on Apple Podcasts, please remember to leave us 5 stars or a review. It helps us to get the word out about the show, and we want to hear your feedback to help make the show better. If you're an Android listener, you can follow us on Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, or Google Podcasts, so you never miss an episode. Remember, if you like the show, tell a friend. You can find us on any podcast directory. My name is Brandon, and you've been listening to the best place to bring our paranormal teams a little closer together, the ParaUnity Podcast.